We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hold on one sec, bro. I got to brush my daughter's hair.
There we go.
Hey, we definitely got a roll on this because we got a little hair love. Real life hair love right here.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you don't know nothing about this hat.
Yes, welcome sir. To Pop Going Ready with T.O. and Hatch. We are in the building. We got a special guest. Hatch,
yes, sir.
I'm just going to call you Hatch, and I'll call him Matthew because I think
It's
only right and appropriate because I feel like his accolades really outweigh any of your accolades. When you have someone coming on here as an Oscar winner, then your name takes a back seat.
So you're gonna be Hatch. So today I'm Hatch.
And I'm going to address him as Matthew Cherry.
Okay, so who Oscar are you winner. Today? So are you? Do I get to demote your name today as well? Because you're demote? Just. I mean, is Hall of Famer, Oscar Award winner, and then it's just me, little old Hatch.
Hey, there's no way you can.
Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up on Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast with just Hatch and T.O.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to Matthew Cherry today, man. As I said earlier, I don't know much about the guy, but I'm looking forward to chopping it up with him. Obviously, the only thing you guys share is the first two names, the first person name, and that's about it. I'm looking forward to talking to a football player, fellow football player, now movie. I mean, in a sense, to me, it's a movie star. I mean, you win an Oscar winner, bro. That takes you through the stratosphere.
Yeah. He's on the other side. Again, like I said, he started back in 2004. I was with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he was a rookie on Jacksonville. And he came in, like I said, played on practice squad. I think he had maybe played with three or four other teams. And then, took a little detour on his future, kind of tried to figure it out. And then he went on to become – I'm a director, producer in the entertainment business. But now that you say, like I said, when you win an Oscar, you're not just in the entertainment business. You're one of the top names ever to be in the entertainment business. So, he's a rock star right now because in 2020, he won the Oscar for Hair Love. And that kind of puts him on a whole different planet. So, coming up, ladies and gentlemen, my boy, Matthew Cherry on Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast. Subscribe on the
I know what name I'm throwing out if I go into some meeting. Oh yeah, my boy Matthew Cherry. I know him. Yeah, and don't get it twisted. I didn't say Matthew Hatchett. I
want everybody. If you say my name, they definitely go give you the. They go give you the job. You say my name.
They might close the doors on me. I say Matthew Hatchett. Like no, don't get it twisted. Matthew Cherry.
They be like, who's next?
Right.
Hey, and don't forget to subscribe on the Himalaya app or wherever you get your podcast.
Yes, no doubt. And when you see us posting on all our social media platforms, especially IG, don't forget to subscribe, swipe, and share. Because as we say on here, sharing is caring. No doubt. And also, obviously, we release the audio version every Tuesday on both of our social media, Instagram accounts. But you can also see the video version of these podcasts on my YouTube channel. Go to youtube.com/Terrell Owens. So definitely keep locking in, keep tuning in, and let us know what you think about the show. We're newbies in this thing. We're trying to find our way. We feel like we got some great guests coming in on the show. We're trying to, you know, come up with new content, but we're trying to keep everybody informed. We're keeping ourselves informed. So keep tuning in. We appreciate everybody that's tuning in, been tuning in so far. Definitely stay locked. Get your popcorn ready with T.O. and Hatch.
Coming up, our boy, Oscar award-winning Matthew Cherry. Yeet! Welcome to Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast. It's your host, Hatch, with my boy.
Yep, yep. This is T.O. in the building. Welcome to Get Your Popcorn Ready.
There you go.
Once again, we got a very special guest. All of us have played wide receiver. Hatch, I don't really know much about Matthew Cherry, so I'll let you do sort of the extended intro as far as introducing this guy. But I'm gonna be educated a little bit on this podcast about this guy right here. So I'll turn it over to
you. You know what? That's right. We both the real Matthew, because you don't know anything about nothing. So we go educate you a little bit on football, and we go educate you a little bit on the entertainment business, because you don't know what you're doing in both. Because, you know, we've had athletes on the show, we've had Olympians, we've had comedians, but today we have the Academy Award-winning director, producer from Hair Love, Matthew Cherry, is in the building. What's up, young fella?
What's going on, y'all? How you doing?
Oh, man, you know, we're just trying to live this little COVID life, stay safe, stay out the streets. That's about it, man. What you been doing during the downtime?
Man, just really busy, man. Just trying to get these projects off the ground, and man, it's just in a lot of ways, it's the best of times, and it's obviously the worst of times for a lot of people. So, you know, trying to stay humble, stay working.
Absolutely. Well, I'm gonna tell you, let's set the stage for you guys a little bit. So, me and Matthew Cherry played for the Jacksonville Jaguars together back in 2004.
Yep.
Again, I was kind of a wily vet, and he was the young snotty-nosed rookie that came in. But again, taking us back to 2004, so I admit I got cut that season. I think you got cut that season. But as you know, we kind of talk on this show, we talk a lot about transition. Kind of tell us, like I said, what happened after 2004? Where'd you go after that? And then how'd you make kind of half the transition to go into the entertainment business?
Yeah, man. You know, I signed as an undrafted free agent in 2004 with Jacksonville, coming from the University of Akron. You know, Jacksonville at the time had some, it was pretty deep. On a receiver pool, and Jimmy Smith was still doing his thing, and after I got cut during camp, got signed to the practice squad, was there most of the season, ended up signing an active roster with the Bengals, and they were even more stacked. Ended up getting released, bounced around, did a brief stint in Canada, wasn't really feeling it, came back, did a stint in NFL Europe with Carolina. Ended up getting cut because a lineman got hurt. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
And then I was really just ready to give it up and try to move to LA and New York and get into entertainment. And I got like that last call that, oftentimes guys get where it's like, hey, training camp coming up.
What do you do? Do you take one last shot, or are you moving on mentally? Yeah.
And I tried it, worked out for the Patriots, didn't work out, and ended up signing with the Ravens during training camp, and then ended up getting released again. And I was just kind of like, all right, I lived in mad countries and cities in a 3-year span. I'm just kind of ready to get into my, my transition. And I ended up hearing about this program called Streetlights, which was this production assistant training program in L.A. And, I'd never been to L.A. I didn't have any connects out there. And it was really my end to try to get into the industry. And, I majored in radio, TV broadcast. I was always interested in film, even when I was playing. And I was just like, I'm going to just take this shot, and try to get my foot in the door on the ground up, moved to L.A. in 2007, PA'd on shows like Girlfriends and Heroes, big show on NBC, and started directing music videos and just trying to work my way up, man. And, it's just been a journey,
What was your first music video you directed? Who put you in the game?
the first one, I don't know how much time we got, but I could tell that story how I broke in. But
tell it. Absolutely. That's what we're here for, brother.
All this happened was going on in like 2004.
Yeah, yeah. I signed with Jacksonville in 2004, played 3 years, and then LA came in 2007.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, I was getting ready for the Super Bowl around that time.
Yo, Super Bowl 39. Actually, the Eagles played in the Super Bowl in Jacksonville in 2004.
In Jacksonville.
Yep.
Just threw a little nugget out there.
Hey, nobody, you know what I'm saying? Nobody cared about your little nine catches for 130. Tell him, Terry, nobody care about all that.
It was to be exact, it was 9 for 122.
Hey, but who's counting, right, T? But who's counting?
Exactly. Who's counting? So, Matthew, carry on.
I love it. I was a production assistant, for a whole year and, was digging that, seeing that it really wasn't as diverse as it could have been. I got lucky working on a black show, Girlfriends, with Mara Brockett-Keel. But then when I went on the NBC series Heroes, really one of the few black faces on it. And, that was kind of more representative of what production was in general and kind of still is. And for me, this particular show that I was on, Heroes, the creator of the show, Tim Kring, he was a big fan of The Wire, and he had ended up hiring like two or three directors from that show to do an episode. And this was kind of before this whole wave of inclusion that we're seeing now. And so it was Seth Mann, it was Anthony Hemingway, and this other director, Eric Lanneville. And that was my first time really seeing black directors like in a chance to like do these really huge like superhero type shows that, were from white creators and, typically weren't very diverse in their hiring. And that just was so inspiring. I found myself every time they were directing, I'm a little closer to Video Village than I would be for other directors.
There you go.
Trying to kind of learn and kind of see how they were getting down. And, long story short, I ended up basically, because I was the last PA hired on that show, I went to all the department heads and was like, yo, I'm like really trying to get into directing. I noticed like we have all this equipment kind of laying around the set. We sat on the Gower lot. And I was like, basically I went to them and asked them if they'd be cool with me borrowing some equipment. If I could put up a shoot, on the weekends. I mean, long story short, man, they were really cool. They let me borrow some equipment, on the low. If I got caught, it was on me. I had to take my shot. And basically, MySpace was the popular social media network at the time.
Wow, MySpace.
Yes. And I did was I ended up subscribing to like Billboard magazine and YouTube was pretty new at the time too. And anytime a new artist would chart, I would just go on YouTube, check and see if they had a video. And if they didn't, I basically, during my off time on the show, I would write a treatment a day in the trailer during lunch. And I would send a treatment to the artist that I saw on Billboard that didn't have a video. And I'd be like, look, my name is Matthew Cherry. You ever heard of me? I'm reaching out kind of blindly, but, I've heard the song. I got this dope idea for it. If you can get to LA, I'll shoot it for you for free, essentially just to kind of get that foot in the door. And the only thing I ask is that, if you dig it, just pass the word and kind of help me get the next one. And, did that for like a whole year. Wasn't a lot of people reaching out or responding because, there were no verified accounts or anything. And the first person that responded was this artist, Terry Dexter, who was really popular kind of in the mid to late 90s. She had this song, I noticed on her MySpace page, that was like a song with a montage of like Obama's like, inauguration, so clearly clearly she wants a video, but she didn't have the actual components to it that would make it official. And I reached out, we ended up collabing. The second video was same it came the same way through MySpace, through Kindred the Family Soul. And they are the people that put me on with like all the Philly artists like Jasmine Sullivan, Wow, Music Soul Child, like all these kind of neo soul artists. And the third video that I did was for the song In Love With Another Man by Jasmine Sullivan. And that was the one that like went viral and kind of really got
that me. That was the big one.
Yeah.
Is that one get you the most YouTube hits now? Or is that a thing that you even go back and look at now?
Yeah. That at the time, that one was the most for sure. There are definitely a couple other ones that have come after that ended up being a little bit more popular just because of who the artist was. But yeah, at the time, it hit 1 million+ views like the first week, and she ended up getting a Grammy nomination for the song too.
That Jasmine Sullivan go hard, boy. I got that song "Love by You."
Yeah. Hey, what you know about "Love by You," man?
I'm just telling you, hey. Matthew, nobody asking you.
Already. Okay, so let me take go back to the NFL a little bit. So during the process of you I want to talk about the transition even more, like getting cut, like, you know, did that light a fire under you to do something bigger after the NFL? Because as you know, like I said, you know, The Rock, he has the same type of story.
Yeah.
Terry Crews, like they have the same type of story. Like when I got cut from the NFL, I knew I was going to do something bigger.
Yeah.
So did that kind of gear you towards to just entertainment, or you kind of did you fall in like, I'm searching for anything in life type of moment?
No, man. Right. Was there like a, was there a down, like a down period where you were trying to search, you know, as he was saying, it was a down period where you was kind of trying to figure everything out.
Oh, man, for sure, man. I mean, you know, you guys know, man, it's like when you make it to the league, you know, it's like it's such a rare group of individuals that get that honor, you know, and you have to be so good in college to even get to that level. And then like when you get there and, you know, it happens to everybody, you know, whenever you, your time comes and you do end up getting cut, you know, it really messes with your, self-esteem. You know what I mean? Like and my situation, you know, I really felt like a lot of it, you know, a lot of it too is like political. It's like how you come into the league. Like
sometimes
you may be on the wrong team and they got like X amount of people here and, you know, now they need another, you know, alignment or some shit, and they ain't even really got anything to do with you. And so, you know, for me, I always knew that I was good enough, but I knew being an undrafted free agent, a lot of things outside of my control was going to have to happen for me to stick and stay. And, you know, for whatever reason, it didn't happen for me. And, you know, but I always was interested in entertainment. You know, I remember when I got cut that first time because we had Hard Knocks filming. I don't know if you remember that in
04. I do. I do. I remember the walk to the general manager's office and the camera was following me and I wanted to turn around and punch him in the face. Exactly. I remember that.
Oh, you got cut on camera?
I got cut on camera and I was hot, but I was trying to play it off. You know, we just sit there and smile and say thank you. Oh, that's not what I wanted to say, but yeah, go ahead.
Oh, man, that sucks. You're a loser.
Wow. See, you're kind of a bully, T. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, T, did you ever get cut? T, did you ever get cut from a team? Did you ever get cut?
Nope.
Okay, so this is the equivalent. Yeah, so this is the equivalent to. So me and Cherry know how it is to get cut. So it feels like when Andy Reid called you and said, "Don't come back to the facilities," it was the same thing. So shut your butt up.
Nah. I was on a paid administrative leave. Further notice.
Right, until further notice. So, but yeah, go ahead, Cherry. Go ahead, into it. Because again, that moment again, the feeling of, you know, no identity.
Yeah.
Not sure what, you know, my next move is. Of course, 99.9% of all professional athletes go through that, not just football players.
Yeah, no, man. I mean, you know, for me, it was just one of those things. Like, luckily, you know, I studied radio, TV broadcasts and media production in college. You know, I was always into it. You know, for me, it just kind of fueled that fire where it was just like, all right, you know, I'm going to try this out for a couple years. You know, maybe, you know, I'm going to try to get to the average, that 3-year span. If I didn't feel like I could really stick and stay, you know, I was going to give it up. And, you know, I'm really thankful for that process, though. You know, it really shows you what it's like about competing on the highest level and how political sometimes things can be. You know, you could be a great player, but, you know, if the chemistry doesn't work out or things are kind of bigger than you, you know, sometimes they don't work out and sometimes it's your fault. Sometimes it isn't. And all that stuff, you know, ties in directly to the entertainment business.
Right. And again, because, you know, like I said, T, we talk about this a lot. Like I said, we've had Strahan on here. Like we had a lot of other small school players. Right. Yep. So again, small school, like I said, not going to Ohio State, Alabama. It kind of puts us in a box of, you know what, we still don't care. We're going to compete.
Right.
With the best of the best. And we feel like we have to work harder because we're coming from, you know, a lower totem pole. How does that translate now to the entertainment industry? Because we know that's the exact same thing. Again, if your uncle wasn't Spielberg or Michael Mann or Michael Bay, you have a tough, you know, a tough road ahead of you here in this industry when you don't have that uncle or cousin behind you, you know, shooing you in for a project or two.
Yeah, man. You know, for me, it was just like the league, man. It's just all about hard work. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I remember like trying to train for the combine. And it's like, you know, if your 40 time isn't a certain way, you know, you can work on your form, you can work on your technique, and you can get right. And I think it's a similar thing with entertainment. You know, for me, I started like literally at the lowest level as a production assistant and just being on set and learning and kind of seeing what people were doing right, seeing what people were doing wrong, and just, you know, just put in my time, you know, like I always feel like in any field, like, you know, you need to get those 10,000 hours, you know, so that you can become an expert kind of in that field. And, you know, that's what I did, just learning and making mistakes along the way. And, you know, eventually you get to a point where you feel really confident in yourself that you, you know, can take it to the next level. And, you know, that's what happened with me in entertainment.
Right. Who is your mentor in the business? Like, who do you feel like you learned the most from and kind of you lean on?
Man, I've had some great people, man, like Ava DuVernay was awesome. The person who I came on. You know, I kind of came into her life really early in her transition from, she used to be a publicist and she transitioned into being a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. And I met her like right when she put out her first movie, like right before it came out. And she's been amazing. Jordan Peele is somebody who I worked for a couple of years at the same time when I was doing Hair Love. And he's been so great. He gave me my first opportunity to direct an episode of TV. You know, I would say those two for sure are like kind of the biggest mentors, I would say.
Mm-hmm. And now again, so if you transition to 2020, now everybody's looking at you like, yo, this happened overnight. You know what I'm saying? And of course, you know, this is a, you know, what, 12, 13 year process. Yeah. And now that they're looking at you with these type of same admirations, they say you look at Jordan Peele as, like, now they're looking at you. So what do you feel like your responsibility is to all the other upcoming filmmakers that you're coming into contact with now?
Oh, man. You know, for me, it's just all about reaching back. You know what I mean? Like, I wish that when I was coming up, you know, there were people that were like looking out for me kind of in the same way. You know, I think now like more and more people are being more conscious of like, all right, we got to like reach back and open the door for more people to come in kind of after us. You know, I think, you know, like in all businesses, like I think sometimes people think like I'm the only person that could be here in the space at one time and I'm going to try to box everybody out. But, you know, the reality of it is that there's opportunities for everybody. And, you know, there's so many talented people out there that deserve to get their stories told. And, you know, sometimes it just takes a little bit of an encouragement or allowing access and being like, yo, you want to come and hang out on set a little bit and kind of see how this goes down, or, you know, just whatever you can do to try to open up that door, you know, I think is really crucial. And that's really what I've been on.
Yeah. So what goes in? I know you've directed a number of things. So you mentioned storytelling. What goes into the storytelling, or what motivates you, or what inspires you as far as a direction of your directing? I know you've directed episodes of The Red Line, The Last OG, Mixes, and a lot of that. Speaking of where we are today as a country, you've directed these things dealing with racial police shootings, educating Black children about encounters with the cops. And how important is it to have entertainment and a person like yourself being a Black man addressing some of these issues from a Black person's or Black man point of view?
Man, it's so important, man. I mean, you know, sometimes like, you know, even as recent as I would say 10 years ago, like, you know, a lot of us weren't given the opportunity to be on these sets and to tell these stories. And, you know, I think what you're seeing now is that the more of us that get in the door, you're seeing a little bit more authenticity kind of coming from that, because we're able to like better call out, you know, when the BS is there, and also like when it's authentic. And also, I think it's also in a level of comfort for the actors, because a lot of times, like, you know, they're telling these very Black stories, and if they don't have people that look like them that are giving them the direction and kind of making sure that they're not taking it too far, or it's not looking, or if it's looking too like clownish or cartoonish or whatever, you know, I think that's the biggest job for a director, is just to make sure that you're having the actors back and making sure that they feel comfortable kind of in the work they're doing. And, you know, for me, I take great pride in that. And I've been lucky to work with people like Tika Sumpter, Anthony Anderson, Tracy Ellis Ross, you know, and great actors like that who are so talented, but, you know, everybody wants a little bit of direction and kind of making sure that they're on point, you know?
Yeah, because as a director, you kind of toe that fine line of, you know, being the actor's friend, the actor's psychologist, psychiatrist, all that. So it's like when you're going to end up working with some bigger you know, white prominent females, pretty much even males, and they have to play that racist character. You know, it was like that'd probably be the, I think, the hardest your job will ever get. You know what I'm saying? You have to kind of coach somebody to be a racist, even though they're white, but you have to have them be a racist. You know, I mean, I'm sure there might not be nothing in your pipeline for that, but wouldn't that kind of be like that story would probably be the hardest that you could probably get as far as, you know, trying to create a character.
Yeah, man. You know, I think it's all the thing about that I found about directing is like, it's all about just everything being rooted in like truth. And, you know, everybody doesn't see themselves as a villain in their story, you know? And I think as long as you're able to like ground different things and have different anchors, you know, any performance can come across as authentic, even that of a racist. You know, I was an executive producer on Black Klansman with Spike Lee, and you know, man, just seeing him work on set and, you know, literally just like coaxing these people into like go further.
Yeah, you know? That's a good example.
You know, it's necessary work, man, because he was trying to really shine a light on the Klan and like how they get down. And you know, these actors, they know that this is a character that I'm playing, and you know, sometimes they feel a little self-conscious about it, but you know, when you're an actor, sometimes you gotta do the dirty work, you know?
Yeah.
And some of these guys probably not even acting.
Well,
some of them, they're not acting like they're acting, but they really not.
Really not. You know, I think
it's a
different world episode.
Yeah, I know you talked about, I heard you earlier, you were talking to Hash about you mentioned something about, you know, superhero movies and things of that nature.
Yeah.
What do you have in the pipeline? I guess Marvel comic. You know, on the horizon. Because, like I said, I'm gonna shoot my shot because I have the body of a superhero.
Nobody's trying to hear all that, man. You on the phone with two other dudes. We don't want to hear about your body.
Matthew Cherry. Hey, this is Matthew Cherry, not Matthew Hatchett. There's a difference here for the people that are listening. I am addressing Matthew Cherry, Matthew A. Cherry, at that, not Matthew Hatchett. Right now. So yeah. So yeah. If you need Matthew, if you need to IM DB me, you can do that. I've done some acting. Just as you know, my acting skills may not be, or acting roles may not be as extensive as producing career and things of that nature. But you know, you do have some talented guys here on this podcast. So again, like I said, I can start at the bottom. You know, if you want to put me at the bottom of the totem pole and allow me to work my way up. But I do have some acting skills, some acting ability. So if you have any roles, please.
I got one for you.
Consider me.
I got one for you, T. So we go put you on the spot.
No, I'm not listening to you.
I got you. So T. No. So Cherry, if we were gonna do the T.O. Life movie, who would you have play T.O.?
Ooh, oh man.
We would go do the life. We're gonna take his career, and he was gonna be a superstar athlete. Let's say he goes through some ups and downs, and you know, goes on to the Hall of Fame career. You know, tell his story with some ups and downs in there. But who would you have as a character playing T.O.?
Man,
we'll put you on the spot right now.
We put you on the spot, Cherry.
That's a hard one to think off the top of the head. I mean,
because he looked like an alien. You know what I'm saying?
No, I can always play myself too. So you know, I am a character, and obviously, like I said, I'm gonna talk while you ponder.
Okay,
while you cast in your thoughts. You look at my career again. Honestly, you said I admire that you took these courses. You said radio, broadcast, media, all this stuff in college. I had no idea that I would have become the player that I did on the football field, and obviously Hall of Famer, and now here with Hatch, you know, hosting a podcast. But we think about entertainment. You know, I think, like I said, that's something like people. I guess probably mid. Toward the seventh or eighth year of my career, I had people from
from management, our PR department, you know, as they saw me grow from like a rookie. Now I'm in like year eight going to year nine, and I'm with the Philadelphia Eagles, but everybody started to see my growth as far as, you know, my maturation process for us, you know, how it was my rookie year, you know, being in front of the camera. And then when I got to the Cowboys, and probably like, I think around like year 10 or 11, you know, I had a Calvin Hill, Grant Hill's dad, he was working with the staff there. And so he had followed my career, you know, up until this point. And he had come up to me, and he had been following the things that I had been doing, had been watching, you know, how I was with the camera. And he basically said, because, man, one day you could have a career on camera. He goes, man, your camera presence is nice. He's like, you know, y'all to explore. So I've done a few things here and there where I've, like I said, you know, I guess – attempted, you know, taking my stab at acting and things of that nature, and from the directors, you know, talking to a lot of people when I've gone on set, getting that feedback. You know, like I said, I don't claim to be definitely not an A-lister, but my experience on set, it was a little awkward because, like I said, now I'm stepping into a different role. Realm than I'm used to, but that confidence as a football player and things that I learned through football, it kind of helped me being on camera, being on set, and just having that confidence. And then just taking direction was something that I kept hearing from the PAs, from the directors, like, man, you take direction very well. If I was doing something not well enough, or I needed to take it up a notch or take it down a notch, those are some of the things.
Great. You think he froze on yours too, Cherry?
Yeah.
Also saw myself doing, but acting is a different ball of wax, especially trying to bring a character to life.
Yeah.
Have you worked with any other athletes, Cherry, during the process so far?
Yeah, man, I always try to, you know, especially in my movies, man, I always try to get at least one athlete in there. I worked with Doris Moss on my first film, The Last
Ball.
I worked with Thomas Jones, running back for the Bears and the Jets, on my second movie, Nine Rides. But you know, there's so many great football players that are like getting into acting now. And the thing that I notice is like, and I'm sure, you know, T.O. and Hatch, you both can relate to this. It's like, for whatever reason, when athletes try to transition into something that's outside of sports, a lot of times it's like looked at a certain way. Like people already are like judging, like not giving you the benefit of the doubt. And like in my experience, what I've seen with so many guys that have moved to LA and are pursuing acting is like, these are some of the most hardest working dudes that I've ever seen. You know what I mean? And like, you know, and a lot of times, like, they put that same effort and hard work and work ethic that they had being an athlete into the work of whatever their new craft is. And I don't know, man, it's just weird to me that people don't give athletes the benefit of the doubt. If you can work hard in that field, of course you'll work hard in this field too. So.
Because it's like, I hate that perception because, for example, in training camp, you guys know, we would get a playbook like this, right? And we have that thing memorized in 2 or 3 days.
Right.
But they're going to give us a script and they're going to look at us like we're not going to study it. And I'm like, I'm going to have this script down in the next 24 hours. Right, but again, the perception is, oh, he's just going to, you know, look, you know, I'm going to look at it. He's not going to be prepared tomorrow. Like, yeah, the athletes are going to be the probably overprepared, especially because we don't know, you know, the landscape of this business. So yeah, I kind of ran into that a little bit a while back as well. But again, it's that perception, not only in the entertainment, but I think it's that perception across the board, as far as even getting into your coaching and scouting in professional sports, right? In the business world as well. I'm sure a lot of the retired and ex-athletes are going through the same thing. But, I mean, people out there, they have to understand, like, we're going to probably be overprepared and overqualified for that job. So you guys need to give these athletes, you know, a little bit of, you know, a better chance.
And I think a lot of it, too, is that, you know, now we're entering into their arena. And now they feel like, okay, well, you haven't had the experience, enough experience. You don't have enough hours under your belt to transition into where these seasoned actors are. But again, as you said, Matthew, Cherry, you know, we work hard. We know what it takes, what that entails, in order to complete the task, get the job done. And again, like I said, we may be starting you know, kind of, you know, not with the experience that these, the years of experience that some of these actors have, but that doesn't mean that we can't act. And if, as we all know, there's a number of great actors and actresses, you know, in Hollywood, and it's not about what you know, it's who you know. There's a lot of great actors right. out there that can probably act just as good, if not better, than some of the people on the main, on the big screen. But again, it's one of those, have to pay your dues in a sense, but I don't think it should be that way. Again, if you find somebody that can, you know, obviously bring a character to life and they can, you know, bring, you know, obviously bring your project to fruition, then why not?
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Right here on Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast here with Matthew Cherry, Oscar award winning mm-hmm. Matthew Cherry. So let's go back to that, to the reason you won the Oscar, right? For Hair Love, where this whole idea come and how this whole process go when that project came about?
Man, you know, for me, Hair Love was like, animation is something I've always been interested in, even though I'm like not the best at drawing. You know, I know animation is kind of a medium as opposed to like a skill set necessarily. Mm. And I don't know, for me, I noticed a lot of young Black kids not having a lot of characters that they could look up to in cartoons and a lot of times in the movies at the time. You know, mind you, this is 2017, so this is before Into the Spider-Verse, this is before Coco, this is before mm-hmm. Moana. And, you know, it was dire. You know, at the time, there was only 3 movies in a 100-year history of film
wow.
that featured Black characters in lead roles. It was Princess wow. and the Frog, it was Bebe's Kids, and it was this movie Home from DreamWorks that starred yeah. Rihanna. And, you know, media is so powerful. Young kids are so impressionable. And when you see these images of like only a certain type of Black woman being portrayed in the media, only certain types of Black men, you know, so often Black fathers get such a bad rap in film and TV. Like they're always depicting us as deadbeats and not present and, you know, all abusive and all these other crazy
right.
And, you know, Hair Love just felt like a really great opportunity to like showcase a young Black girl who has this really big hair, who loves her hair, and also her father who, you know, is willing to do whatever it takes to try to make sure that she's happy. And then you see kind of towards the end of the film, the greater reason why they both went on this journey. And, you know, just kind of trying to showcase a Black family in animation was really the biggest goal, and just to try to normalize Black hair, you know?
Right. Now that has also, go ahead, T.
Yeah. No, I was just saying too, even, you know, obviously you're talking about these Black roles in Black movies. I think Hollywood has done, I think with this whole Black Lives Matter movement too, obviously it's shifting and it's affecting a lot of things in, mm-hmm. in America and in our country. But in Hollywood, I think what is so unique, which is will bring about more opportunities for more, you know, Black actors and actresses, that, you know, they have these characters now, these animation, that these Black characters have to be cast by African-American people. So people, I think that's awesome, especially doing a lot of the voiceovers and things of that nature. Yep. I think that's going to bring about, like I said, more of people of color, you know, Black and brown to the big screen or what have you, or just, you know, just job opportunities.
Yeah, for sure.
And now Hair Love, it's not so the, but the short film, it's not stopping there. Aren't you guys going to do something and taking off from there as well?
Yeah. We're turning it into a TV series. So HBO Max picked it up, this new streaming platform under Warner Brothers. And so we're doing a 12 episode season with them, and awesome. You know, we're gonna have to cast it up, and right now we're in the middle of writing it. That was the call that I was on before I had to hop on here, just trying to lock down
some things. There
you go. Yeah, man, it's gonna be great.
How can I get on the cast in this, man? You got some spots. You got some roles.
Yeah. I mean, we're gonna have to, you know.
Yeah, if you get rid of your face.
Hey, that's cool too. You got to start somewhere. You see how I turn that negative to a positive, Matthew Cherry?
I see it.
That's what I do. You know what I mean? It's constant hate, you know, from this guy right here. You know what I mean? But it's all good. So listen, everybody, listen. Welcome to Get Your Popcorn Ready. We got it popping. You know? We really got it popping. We got the real Matthew Cherry on this bit, on this piece.
The real deal.
Yeah, no, man, we're real early in the process, so still trying to write out some of the episodes, but we should be casting hopefully later in the year, and you know, definitely keep you in the loop for for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now you want to stick with TV, or you want to get into movies? You want to do the Pixar Disney films? You want to do it all? What's your goals for, you know, like say you're directing and producing?
Dude, man, it's a little bit of everything, man.
Me, I would like anything.
No, not you. Role. Not you. Not, yeah, no, we're not talking to you. You will be in the back.
My bad. I'm sorry. I thought I was a guest. I thought you were asking me.
No, man.
My apologies.
See what I got to deal with, Cherry. See what I got to deal with, dog. Man, this guy.
No, man, it's a little bit of everything, man. You know, I've been lucky enough in my career to be able to like do a little bit of everything, you know, music videos, live action movies, television directing, animation now. And, you know, luckily enough, you know, a lot of those same opportunities are still being presented. So, you know, in a perfect world, you know, I'll be doing an animated feature. You know, I booked a live action feature called The Come Up. That's supposed to hopefully start shooting. God, who knows when, you know, with this whole thing, but hopefully sometime later next year with Jermaine Fowler and Lil Rel and the Lucas Brothers. It's kind of like a comedy heist film I'm really excited about. And, you know, got some animation stuff in the works too. So, you know, it's just a little bit of everything, man.
Yeah. It's like, in this business, it's like, you know, how they used to say in football, right? The more you can do, the longer you stick around. It's exactly. So real because, again, you could be directing this project, producing this project, writing on this project. Yep. So, I want the audience to understand, like I said, if you're really engulfed in the business, like you're going to have to do more than just one thing. And you have to be ready to pivot at any time. Because, again, it's like, I've produced movies. I've done some acting. I've never directed anything, but I do want to direct, you know, one day. That would be great.
You gotta hang on set, man. You gotta come hang on set with me one time.
I gotta watch you get down. You know what I'm saying? I gotta watch you get down, man. That's the goal.
Hey, man, while we're talking about just transitioning, and I just happen to just think about like who is probably your most proud individual of your accomplishments, because I can't imagine, like I said, I don't know anything about your mom and dad or anything, if they're together or not together, or if it was just your mom or just your dad, but I can only imagine, you know, how proud they are to honestly see their son, I guess, fulfill somewhat of their high school or their kid dream of playing football, and now here you are, Oscar winner, you know, you're on TV, you're doing all these things behind the scenes. You know, who is like your most proud, you know, individual or family member?
Oh, man, you know, definitely my family, man. You know, both of my parents passed away, but, you know, a couple years ago. Yeah, but my, you know, my sister, she's really, really big in my life. And, you know, my fiance, she's everything.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's been a really cool, you know, I got a really good support system, man. You know, as you guys know, your team is so important.
Yeah.
You know, the people that kind of help make the wheels turn kind of behind the scenes. And, you know, I got a really great, strong team, you know.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's very important. Very important in this business, you know, to have good friends, good family. And because, you know, as this business and even especially in sports, you're always saying, well, I'm going to go do this. But the goal is so big, people rarely believe you. Right. You know, they don't believe you, you know. And it's like, unfortunately, like, you just have to keep going. You got to keep plugging away. You got to keep up. I'm going to the league. I'm going to the league. I'm going to Oscar one day. You got to keep telling yourself that. Everybody who doesn't believe that, you got to get them off your boat, you know, because they'll help sink your ship if you don't get them off your boat.
Bro, it's so crazy. It's so crazy, man. Like, so back in 2016, I watched the Oscars, and like, I had never really thought about it before. Like, oh man, I'm gonna win an Oscar or anything like that. But I remember watching the Oscars in 2016, and I paid attention to the whole show. And normally, you know, you just watch for best actor, best director, best film. And I watched everything. And I remember seeing like best editing, best sound mixing, you know, best documentary short, like all these categories that so often we just totally ignore.
Yeah.
And I remember watching animated short and being like, and then I having this idea. And I remember I called my manager like literally that same night. And I was like, yo, I was like, I got an idea. And I was like, if we do it right, I think we can win an Oscar. And I said this back in 2016. Awesome. And the fact that like we actually were able to make it happen is just the craziest thing, man. Just like, you gotta believe, man. You gotta believe.
Definitely. That's awesome. And again, like I said, on behalf of myself and Hash, man, sorry for your losses. But
no worries.
Again, the people that I'm sure have inspired you. You're talking about your sister, your fiance. Obviously, that's everyday motivation, man. And just, I mean, just hearing that story, you know, obviously, listen, watching TV, and you never know how an individual can be inspired. And just by you watching that, and again, if, as you said, I've watched a bit of the Oscars too. And again, some of these smaller, you know, nominations, they kind of just go overlooked because we also look at the big nominations.
Movie of the year, yeah.
Right, and things of that nature. So they kind of go kind of overlooked or what have you, or you kind of just do things around the house. You're eating, you're talking to friends, you're kind of entertaining. And then you hear that big award coming up, nomination coming up, then you're paying attention. So, man, we appreciate, you know, what you're bringing, you know, to light for all the listeners here, people that are hopefully motivated by Matthew Cherry's just his aspirations, his inspirations to be now, again, to go from football, you know, obviously this kind of reminds me in a sense of what Kobe has done, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and again, you look at what Kobe did, being a basketball player then, you know, he gets it, wins an Oscar. So again, yeah, this is huge, man. So it's definitely motivation, not only for just, you know, just athletes in general, but just people of color,
people
that want to be inspired and have aspirations to, again, because you know how LA is. There's so many people that migrate to LA that mm-hmm. wants to be on the big screen, behind yes. the screen. And then, again, they have so many obstacles, so many, turns, ups and downs that lead them either to their goals or away from their goals. So, man, yeah. I appreciate what you've done, man, especially with your continued effort and path and journey to be, man, Oscar winner. That's awesome.
Oh, appreciate you, man. Seriously. That's great.
So I know we usually do a little top five segment, but today I'm going to see if we can get three out of you because it's kind of a harder category. So give us three of the top athletes turned entertainers or turned somewhere into the acting or directing that used to be, you know, like an athlete, could have been college because some of the guys just played college ball.
Yeah. This is an easy one, man. I mean, you got The Rock.
Okay. Yeah. The Rock got to be on the list for sure.
You got The Rock. You got Strahan.
Okay. Stray. Yeah.
Strahan up there.
It's controversial as his name may seem.
No, I can't. I was going to try to think of somebody that ain't that name.
You were OJ?
Oh, OJ. I mean, yeah, OJ. I mean, look, OJ, Kareem.
That's what I'm saying. You got to think about some of these guys.
Who are you thinking about, Sherry?
I was trying to think of my man that was a writer on Ballers, Rashard Mendenhall.
That's right. He is deep in the biz. He's a big-time writer out here.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's so many guys, man. I mean, when you really think about it, it's really awesome to see, man, Cass being able to get that transition. But, yeah, you know, I was actually thinking about Terry, but you brought up
Terry Crews. Yeah, he. You know what? That's probably who should play T in the T.O. movie. Done. Perfect.
Not.
Oh, that's perfect.
Absolutely.
That's
not.
That's perfect. Y'all look alike. Y'all built alike.
No. Y'all first of all, we're
like,
definitely.
Y'all both look like criminals. Definitely. I've been locked up for 25 years. I've been.
You're racist, dude. You're racist. You're racist.
How am I racist, man?
You're racist because you think that all black people look bald-headed guys. Black.
No, just you and Terry.
No,
just
bro,
you and Terry. Racist. Nobody else, just you and Terry.
No, you're racist, dude.
And you got-
that is not right, Hatch. That is not right.
Oh, that was
for all
perfect.
These listeners, man, I hope we don't lose subscribers listening at this BS that you
just blasting
in their ears right now.
Nah, you know who I was thinking for you, Terry? I mean, Terry was I was thinking of the young dude that's on that show All American, Daniel Ezra, that played.
Right, okay, yeah.
You know,
we got to get his weight up, though. We got to get his weight up, though. Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking he could play like a young version of you.
Yeah, the young version. Yeah. He got that. Yeah, he got that hatch body right now. He got that hatch body. You know what I mean?
That
no definition, no tone.
You know,
the potential. Wow. It's like the potential is there. The makeup is there. Just hasn't really developed yet.
I stay camera ready. I don't need no makeup.
Matthew Cherry, I would agree. He can play the younger version, like the high school, high school to college. Carol, you know what I mean?
That's funny. But, Neil, so Cherry, we appreciate you coming on. We know you got a busy schedule. You're making things. things happening here in Hollywood. I said, appreciate you taking the time out to get to come on, get your popcorn ready today with me and T.O., brother.
Nah, man, I appreciate y'all, man. This is a great time, man. Definitely going to check out some of the older episodes, too, and going to continue watching moving forward, too, man. Y'all look great.
There you go. Yeah, appreciate it. No doubt, man. And like I said, I'm for real, man. I shot my shot, man. So, you know, like I said.
And like you always do, you missed. Get off.
That's why we can't really, that's why we as a black community.
As a black people.
We can't grow because of people like you, man. You are a bonafide hater. That's we gotta funny. Stick together, man. We gotta unify. As much as you don't like me, you gotta pretend like you like me.
That's hilarious. You stupid.
You gotta pretend. That's, you know what I mean? We gotta be in all this thing together. You know what I mean?
I liked you in about last night, man.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, you see that hat? They hat. That's where it starts at right there. Little snippets, little small roles, you know what I mean?
Build it up.
Go build your resume.
That's what I'm doing.
And like Tupac said, get your weight up, pay him back when you're bigger.
Yeah. And also, I was in my dad's a soccer mom too. Don't forget that. Go check that out.
Say that again. What was that one too?
My dad's a soccer mom.
I never heard of that one. That must have been shot in Encino.
Hey, just for everybody that's listening, including my host, my co-host with me, Matthew Hatchett, go IMDb me.
Yep.
Hey, yeah.
Look, dysfunctional friends, come on now.
Come here. What am I on? Tell them what you saw.
Tell them what daddy on.
What am I on?
My dad's a soccer mom.
That's right.
Yep.
There you go. Good job, beautiful. Good job. All right, Cherry, we appreciate you, brother, man. I love you, brother. I'll see you on set, baby.
I no doubt, man. Appreciate y'all. Thanks for the time. All right,
my man.
For sure.
Peace.
Right. Peace.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, that was a good show. My man, Matthew Cherry, Oscar award-winning Matthew Cherry, director, producer, writer here in Los Angeles, and he has changed hopefully the perception that he is changing the perception is what athletes can do in the entertainment business.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, so I guess obviously this kind of segues way into our three and out segment where we kind of identify three notable things throughout the interview that really kind of stuck out in our minds. What do you think?
I think number one for me, like I said, in 2016, where he said, you know, he was physically watching the Oscars and he kind of recognized, you know, like I said, it's not just male best actor, male best performance and movie of the year, you know, all those things. It's like a bunch of other categories. And then he called his, you know, his boy and like, yo, I think we can make something to win an Oscar. And then 4 years later, he actually goes out and wins the Oscar. That's
right. Yeah. It was an animation. It was animation, right? Yeah.
Yep. For animation, for Hair Love, of course.
Yeah. Yep. That's dope.
That was one. Then the second one, I think I said, it's a humbling experience because as you know, NFL professional athletes, we don't humble ourselves well. But for him to leave the NFL, start as a PA in the business, which, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, that's the bottom of the bottom. Like you're running and getting coffee and getting donuts for directors, and you might be sweeping the set some days. And
in football, it's almost like a GA, which is like
a graduate, absolutely
graduate absolutely. Assistant. So there are a lot of similarities in those job job titles.
And to go from there to go all the way up, you know, to take those jobs over and over and over again, and then finally catch a break and, you know, start doing some music videos and then work his way up to writing, directing TV shows. And of course, now he won the Oscar. So again, that's starting at the bottom when you are already at the pinnacle of being an NFL player. Right, recalibrated himself, starts at the bottom, then goes and wins the Oscar. Very impressive.
Right.
Very impressive.
No doubt. So. And what's the third one?
And then the third one, I think, the third one, again, I think that how he said the NFL and the entertainment is kind of the same grind, right? He kind of, you know, like I said, he got his breaks when he has some mentors in the business, like Ava DuVernay, Jordan Peele, like that kind of gave him the information or the confidence to really kind of start chasing his dream. A la, like, again, if you're a coach on a, you know, like you said, a GA on a football staff, you're going to need a head coach who's going to have your back and start getting you recommendations and getting you interviews to, you know, become a position coach, then a coordinator, then a head coach. So again, that consistent grind that he says that's in the NFL is also in the entertainment business.
Right. No doubt. Yeah. And I think, obviously when you get to be an Oscar winner, I mean, that puts you in an elite class of people.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're able to assess and, you know, make calls and open doors, you know, obviously, and he's in a position now as an Oscar winner to open doors for other people, people like myself, you, if you were able to act, things of that nature. When you're on that level, I mean, you can pick up the phone call.
Sneaky, very sneaky.
You're an Oscar winner. You can possibly, you know, pick up the phone and get a call to Jack Nicholson.
Oh, easily.
Jodie Foster, or Sandra Bullock, or Denzel Washington. You know what I mean? When you start to get those type of accolades, like, you know, it's equivalent to being a Hall of Famer. You can pick up the phone and call an MJ. You know what I mean? You can call.
MJ does not want to take your call.
Kobe Bryant. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to, you know.
You got LeBron's number in your cell phone?
I have a direct access to him if I need it.
I bet you can't call him right now. I bet you can't call him right now.
If I need it right now, within
I bet you I can call him right now. I bet you I can call him right now.
No, you can't call him. You don't have his number.
I'll FaceTime him right now.
No, you ain't finished. Man, let me tell you something. You don't have
LeBron's number. I'll FaceTime, bro. We from Cleveland, Ohio. We go way back. We go back 20 years, B.
Whatever, man. You ain't part of that. Hashtag kid from Akron.
Cleveland. It's Cleveland, Akron.
I haven't seen you do any of that. None of that.
You don't have to. That's how I roll. I roll under the radar.
You
claim
Ohio because LeBron.
I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. I've been claiming sea land in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Cleveland.
Oh,
Ohio,
now you want to claim
the
Ohio?
The OH10. That's how we get it in.
Man, you about like the city of Cleveland some years ago. Y'all were riding with him when he was
I'm not a Cavs fan. I could, because I was a Bulls fan, but I am from Cleveland, Ohio, and
thank you, ladies
and gentlemen, for checking out the show today. Get your popcorn ready podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and check us out on the Himalaya app or wherever you get your podcast.
No doubt, and don't forget to check out the YouTube channel, my YouTube channel, to check out the video of the show, youtube.com/Terrell Owens.
Yep. If you're trying to find us on our social media, my Instagram is Matthew Hatchett and my Twitter is Hatch89.
And you can find me, definitely. You know, I mean, just look for my face. You know, I mean, it's just like in a dictionary. You know, you look up handsome, you're going to see me. But for all those that are listening right now, if you want to find me on all my social media handles, just check me out at Terrell Owens.
Peace!
Yep.
Peace!
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.